Welcome everyone to a very special episode of the Pinnacle Podcast. Today I'm joined by some of the finest minds in Dota to go through the odds of the international. I'm joined by former professional coach Tancaster Kipps, the statistician magician of the Dota world Knoxville, and Pinnacle expert contributor Lockworthy. I'm Jack Davison, community coordinator at Pinnacle and here to host, so we'll just jump straight into something. I personally think we've seen a shift over the past 2 years since the previous TI, but Ben, in your opinion, what is this kind of strongest region right now?
I think it's pretty easy to say that China's the strongest region. It's just a question of how strong are they. They've got definitely the favorites coming into TI in the LGD, but they also have very other strong teams right behind them, Vici Gaming, Asta, IG, and also the dark horse, which is Elephant Gaming, who we've never really seen on an international stage. So I think China, by far, it's just a question of how big of an advantage you would give them.
Yeah, I would back Knoxville there and say 4 invited teams, all 5 priced in the top 10 with the Pinnacle markets as contenders. The outright favorite, LGD, is at 30% to win the entire event with Pinnacle. I saw it as high as 40% at one book this morning, which is kind of crazy. But then you also have when you compare the head-to-heads between LGD and the other Chinese teams, yeah, there's a couple 65-35s, 70-30, but overall you'd say any one of the other Chinese teams could knock an LGD off if they came head-to-head because they know each other so well. So China is the strongest region, 5 teams. It's just the probability gives them such a head start. But that's not exactly saying that they're a gimme to take it down.
Okay, well, I know, Kipps, obviously you were casting the ESL full. We saw PSG go all the way to the finals there. Is that kind of indication of China coming into the TI pretty strong? Or is it just that one kind of hope for China?
No, it's definitely an indication of China coming in strong. I actually casted the Chinese DPC this entire season as well, the second division, and I followed the first. And the level of play in China throughout the year has been higher than any other region, and the level of internal competition as well. And that's why the field is so broad coming out of China, because it's not just one top team who is dragging everybody up. They all have been in competition with each other throughout the year, and they all can go toe-to-toe with each other. With Elephant being, of course, the Elephant really needs to get out of their own way, if anything. If RTK has managed to instill a lot of discipline in his superstar players, then they are going to show up too. But if he hasn't managed that, and we haven't seen it so far, then Elephant might be the odd one out from the China bunch.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, RTK, obviously a legend of the Dota 2 scene, probably one of my favorite Chinese players at least. But yeah, you do see a lot of the Chinese teams kind of mixing in kind of Malaysian players. Is that kind of a sign of SEA Dota becoming a lot stronger? Obviously, we've had TNC have pretty strong performances before they unfortunately released their roster recently. But do you see SEA as kind of a dark region or a dark horse region, or are they just kind of get lucky at TIs, I guess?
I honestly do not have high hopes for SEA this time around. T1 did good a couple of months ago, but I think they have been slowly going down ever since. I think they're getting found out a little bit. Their mid player Carl doesn't have as big of a hero pool mid as I really would like him to have. And I also expect, and this is something from my experience with SEA teams, that their long stay in Europe is wearing on them. It's cold here, the food is bad. I don't think they're enjoying themselves that much anymore. Of course, everything is different at TI, but right now with T1 being absolutely way stronger than Fnatic and them two kind of getting wobbly, I'm concerned for them.
Yeah, I think that this is not necessarily the best chance for SEA at the TI, but if anything, when you start writing SEA off, that's when they surprise you the most. Mm-hmm. I would be very surprised by a Fnatic deep run. We haven't seen too much, I guess, more recently of them that looks promising. But when it comes to T1, and this is something you spoke to earlier, Jack, the TI is kind of like this melting pot of creativity and ideas. Every year, the meta comes out in a way that is very unpredictable in many ways. And in some ways, it's totally predictable. And sometimes it can land in a way that just completely favors you and your hero pool. Like what happened to DC before at TR6. Like all of their heroes became meta heroes and there was no way that you could draft effectively against them. And they made it all the way to the finals. Another year, you could be the team that is maybe viewed as a strong team, like middle of the pack, but you're able to adapt very fast, like newbie were at TR4. So I think T1 is more of the latter case. They could adapt and adjust well to a shifting meta. They definitely have some weaknesses, like Kip said, but if the meta goes in a way that's favorable for them, they could perform much better than expected. And right now, that's not actually saying too much, because I think, at least from the Western scene, the expectations for them are quite low.
So I kind of put down that every region outside of China holds elements of being a dark horse region, based on the amount of positions and form of the various teams in the field. With SEA specifically, I thought that T1 is maybe slightly undervalued given their form in this atypical circuit that we had this year. This is not a typical major run in DPC. So,
and everyone's got to love 23 Savage, right?
So I thought that a good performance for either SEA team would honestly be a 7-8 position. I think that would be overperforming, but they would have reason to be proud of how they did. But I don't see them as true contenders in the sense of a dark horse making a lower bracket run and taking significant contender scalps.
Okay. Well, I mean, from what you've said there, do you consider NA probably the biggest challenge, maybe, with EG obviously coming in top of the DPC points chart? Do you think they've got another chance of repeating, was it TI5?
In EG are top three, right?
Yeah.
That's how I've been doing my maths. Okay. It's like EG gets EG top three.
EG is third and only third, Kips.
I know. Yeah, exactly. That was the market I was looking for at Pinnacle. It was not EG to win, but EG to place top three. Unfortunately, the traders haven't put that up yet, but maybe you could put a request in for us.
I shall put a request for you.
No, but like that's why my odds for LGD are way higher, because you see LGD is also top three, and since we know that EG is not winning it, that automatically makes it 50-50 for LGD.
that math adds up.
Idea.
That said, there are some big question marks about the other two NA teams. Undying were a team that really did not play outside of the Americas at all. Maybe they did in some, you know, like lower tier. When I say lower tier, it's not a slight, I'm just saying not at the top level, not at the tier one major level. They were a team that were constantly like nipping at the heels of EG in season one and always trying to get that, steal that second slot away in season two. It wasn't an option in the end. But they are a team that is, you know, they played a couple of games online over the Atlantic, but mostly it's between other NA teams and against South American. They're a team that has shown to grow a lot individually throughout the DPC season. I was covering, stats-wise, the NA DPC season. And Undying had some of the most like standout performances. And what's kind of funny is how they like juggle between who's the performer. There's no like, there's no one standout player on Undying. They all take turns leading from the front, doing crazy things. I think, they're a team that, when it comes to the big stage and when it comes to a big amount of preparation building to this big event, they're a team that definitely could be undervalued. And Quincy Crew are just slightly ahead of them in terms of skill in the local results, but on an international stage have achieved much more. They're the team that, you know, has made it to the major. They've won more than Alliance, which is definitely a fact that Reddit likes to remind everyone. But yeah, they're a team that historically, as a squad, have stuck together for a long time and have performed very well. They do have a TR9 result together that is impressive. But overall, I definitely think that there could be a surprise that comes out of NA. beyond just EG?
One of the markets I'm eyeing up at Pinnacle is top NA team. Obviously, EG is the heavy favorite there, but it's paying 4-1 for Quincy to take that down. And given, you know, 2 years ago at TI9, Quincy was newbie, and they got that upper bracket berth, went up against eventual winners OG. But this is a team that has been sort of circling the ability to go on a TI run for a little bit. As Knoxville mentioned, very experienced on the international level. Haven't necessarily had the huge resume of wins at the international level, but they're experienced enough to win that market, in the sense that if they get they qualify for the upper bracket, get a singular victory, and EG comes up against another top contender team, is knocked down in the lower bracket, all of a sudden that market is live, and EG has to go through multiple, double the teams through lower bracket. And just on the math alone, again, we're talking about, at that point, Quincy has a very good shot to secure the victory on the top NA team. And additionally, Quincy has a good head-to-head, not always against this iteration of EG, but in the past year and a half, they have a really strong head-to-head against EG. And so, yeah, I that's a market that, again, I haven't taken a shot at, but I do think that the success of EG through the first 6 months of the year has set up QC to be a little bit undervalued within those three teams.
I just want to do a chip in 1 second there. First of all, I just want to say EG is also the type of team that comes to a big LAN, and they always seem to start slowly during the group stage. So this is a market that I might pull the trigger on if we see the groups are in a certain way and we see the schedule is in a certain way, where they're in a group where maybe there's one or two other teams that are gonna, like, almost locked for the top, you would think. Also, if their schedule towards the end is quite hard, so they start off and they have some easy games, maybe they go 1-1s. We're expecting it to be a similar format to the previous TIs, with two groups of nine. They play best of two round robin within them, and the bottom team gets eliminated. The top four from each of the groups get seeded into the top upper bracket of a double elimination bracket, and the middle four, essentially, get put into the lower bracket. So I can definitely imagine that EG, maybe they don't come lower bracket, but like you say, they could just come fourth or third in their group. Third would be appropriate. And then they're paired against the second or first from the other group. And
that's right.
Yeah. So if you see EG and LGD in different groups and you think, wow, maybe there's something in it, that could be the time to pull the trigger. And I'd be interested to see the shift in the market, because, as you say, 4.99 current odds, very enticing for Quinn's crewmate.
Okay, great. So something else I kind of wanted to probe you, the experts' minds on. Obviously, we've had the DPC seasons. However, there hasn't been a TI for 2 years, right? Is that going to be something that will affect the teams coming in, do you think, Kips?
Definitely. Like, one of the things that you see at every single international is that the teams that handle the pressure the best go the furthest. And whether that is through dealing with it the best or just not feeling at all, that's another question. One that's going to matter a lot for the success of regions like SA, for example, where their big runs come out of not giving a single hoot. We're going to have to see if that's actually possible for them this year. I think SA cares a little bit too much this time. But definitely there is more money than ever on the line this time. That pressure has been building up for 2 years now. TI is mental, literally. And we're going to see a couple of big names probably fold out of pressure in the end.
Yeah. So is there kind of, from the DPC seasons, is there anything that you can kind of gather from that, or is it more of just a throw it all together? Obviously, Knoxville, you mentioned it was kind of a melting pot, right? Do you see the different styles of play that we see in the different regions? Is that going to be a major factor, or these kind of smaller intimate events kind of? Yeah, Karen.
Yeah, I think, I mean, so there's 2 points here. Firstly, the prize money is absolutely insane, as Kip said. it's for many players, many teams, the first real big opportunity of a payday in a long time. So for like a team that's been, you know, stuck playing third-party events, and there haven't been that many third-party events. If you think about it, when COVID first came out, there was a gap for a few months or for a month or so before third-party events jumped in. Then on top of that, certain regions were kind of excluded from these third-party events. I'm talking SEA took a really long time to get going. The Americas were almost entirely supported by just a few different tournament organizers there. And most of the big events we saw were in EU and CIS, to the point that it almost felt oversaturated by the number of third-party events. So when you're talking about the other regions, they're certainly hungry for a win. And the money is absolutely insane. It's bonkers. You come last year, and you're probably going to be getting, what are we talking about? Maybe like 100,000 if the prize pool stays the same. And you start, the money starts ramping up very quickly. You know, one win, and you're getting six times more or five times more than that. So yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of hungry teams, but at the same time, I'm not sure exactly how to expect a stylistic clash because we've seen so few interregional tournaments. Like, it's basically just two majors we've seen the whole year. And if you think about it, previous years, interregional competitions have represented 80% of the matches in the year, and this year it's absolutely tiny. So a lot of crazy stuff can happen, even more than prior to years.
Okay, cool. So I kind of want to move on to a few, it's something that we've been speaking about a little bit already, but the kind of the props markets that we have, I've picked out a few of my favorites. I think Adam's got a few ideas as well. Something that we kind of already mentioned a little bit, and I know we're talking about Reddit and the way that they kind of frame the argument, but we have the team to get a higher standing, right? And it's Alliance and Quincy Crew. So Alliance, one of my previous kind of favorite teams, and then Quincy Crew at 1.8 and Alliance at 1.9. What are you kind of, who do you think is going to take that one? What's your predictions for this?
Sorry, I didn't actually hear what you said, the which market we're starting with.
So it's team to get higher standing.
Ah, okay. So between Alliance?
Alliance and Quincy Crew.
I'm definitely would put money here on Quincy Crew to win. So the odds being kind of close, it's 1.9 at the moment on Alliance, 1.84 Quincy Crew. I would put a small to medium bet on Quincy Crew here. Once again, a lot of these markets will be shored up when the format comes out, so we'll have a little bit more information. There might be some changes which could affect this and could affect all of these outright markets. But I think at the current price, I would definitely put money on Quincy Crew. Alliance are a team that has not performed at a major. It is kind of a Reddit meme, but it is also kind of true. They're a team that has looked to be trending down, but they're so full of potential that they could bounce up. They could bounce up, and I think a lot of fans of Alliance are just waiting for that bounce to happen. And if it doesn't happen, it'll be a very sad story to the end of the season for them. But as it stands, 1.84, I'd put maybe a medium bet on Quincy Crew for that.
Yeah, that sounds very right to me. Quincy Crew, as far as stability in their performance goes, much higher. Also, that mental thing that I was talking about first, Alliance seems to be crumbling under the pressure. Also, if you look at their games, they often do pretty well and then crumble. And that seems to be the story of the season so far. I would be very surprised to see Alliance picking themselves up after how much their confidence seems shaken by how this season has played out.
There's that was one of my three markets that I'm really excited to take part in, JD.
I'm sorry, I've stolen your thunder.
No, you set it up nicely. I wasn't sure if we'd get into this one. So two head-to-heads on that one that I've got circled are Secret as a underdog against EG and Virtus Pro as an underdog against OG. I view these as probably mispriced slightly the other way. I mean, saying they're too far from a 50-50 is not, you're going to be difficult to find any expert in the world or a trader who's going to see it too differently from close to a 50-50. But I view both of those as potentially the better team being the underdog coming in. They're priced as the underdog coming in, but they should be priced as the favorite is what I'm trying to say. So Virtus Pro, I see as being the more consistent team in the run-up, even though EG did qualify, and OG is always OG. And same thing with Secret against EG. Secret was just through 2020 was just the most dominant team we've seen, and it was online, but you're not going to take too much of an asterisk when they had the kind of record that they had through that. That's a year ago. But if you're talking about a Secret that has never won TI, the amount of time they're going to have to prepare, and EG just being like maybe playing the best that they could have in 2021, and that's why they're a slight favorite here, I will happily take Secret as a slight underdog any day against any team other than probably LGD, which is maybe the only one where I would price them where they are. So those are two that I had circled. That's Virtus Pro at 2.0 against OG and Secret at 2.0 as well against EG.
Yeah, I definitely think kind of Secret has kind of come into previous TIs pretty strong and pretty dominant. I'm personally not sure about their kind of performances, and obviously they've never won, they've never really gotten as deep as people probably expected, right, in TIs. Do you think that could change this year, Kips, maybe?
Well, they are the biggest question mark for sure, and I think in terms of player quality, they have one of the best rosters in the world right now. But for me, the big question mark is how they're going to deal with this meta, because in the end, they have more of a carry-style mid player with Nisha. Matumba Man has often played in service to the team before. He's clearly improved a lot in carrying properly on his own. But the teams that we've seen do well right now have a very much almost utility-based mid, and they play to the side lanes, and they have a four that stacks. Have you guys ever seen Yabzor stacking? Because I think he sometimes does it by accident. But it's not exactly something that that seems to fit Team Secret's style. So if they appear again, and they're going to show up, they're going to show up as a very different Team Secret than the team that we saw dominating before. So I am not sure if that's going to, like, for me, absolutely the biggest question mark of them all. And they'd have to change.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the whole thing with Secret is they definitely are a team that, like everyone said, they've been around for a long time. They've had some very disappointing TIs. TI5, they were like absolutely the favorites going in. But there's one thing that we have learned is that going into TI as a favorite hasn't worked TI3.
Yes. Yeah.
And even then, it was just TI3 because TI1 was kind of a crapshoot. Secret are a team that are learning, and their performances have been decent at TIs, but yeah, they haven't won a TI. I think that Secret this season, as soon as they qualified, when I say as soon as they qualified, I mean their manager, Salvik Matt, was messaging me after every match, sometimes in the DPC, hey, what is the update on the standings? How have we qualified? Haven't we qualified? And to the point that I started putting out some tweets on a like graphic on this, and as soon as they qualified, there was some like magical switch which just got clicked, and they went from this team that had like broken Alliance's record in terms of like best performance over 100 game stretch, 75 game stretch, 50 game stretch. They went from this team that had like the highest ratings ever to a team that were all playing, from what I heard, all playing MMORPGs. So they were qualified. They still managed to come. Where did they come at the Singapore Major? They came fourth, and they lost to IG, who ended up winning in a very close game against Secret and EG. So, yeah, I think definitely Secret are a team where they're definitely top four in my opinion coming into this. But it's just a question of how much time and preparation they put in behind the scenes, and how much they're going to surprise us when they come out. Yapsil, sure, might not be a stacking four, but at the same time, Secret are a team which have been innovative, they've been meta-defining. They could define the meta at TI, they could refine it. They might not win TI, but I would be very surprised if they come in and go out in the same way that they did at the We Play Major.
Okay, great. Gonna move on to my second prop that I picked out. Something that's a little bit more, I guess, mechanics focused and less on the teams themselves. Our traders have put out some markets on the hero with the highest death average. I'm going to go through the top three. So the number one is Vengeful Spirit, which obviously makes sense with her mechanics, And then second of all is Nyx Assassin, but the one that I found most interesting was Tinker. Do you think this is something that teams have learned to deal with in terms of like Tinker mids and stuff like that, or is it just the hero isn't going to feature in the meta too much?
I would be really surprised to see a lot of Tinker. There is a place, at least in pubs right now, for an extremely aggressive kill style Tinker. But that is a very high risk strategy that you don't farm your way back into a game as a Tinker right now. And I think a lot of teams recognize that you could play that kind of tempo with another hero and not fall off a cliff the moment it doesn't work. So I would be very surprised to see this hero a lot at all. That said, I'm not sure exactly how it works with cutoffs for how many times a hero has to get picked. But I could see one Tinker pick fall off on its face massively and never get picked again and have one of the highest death totals. Yes.
Yeah, these markets are 10 picks or more from what I saw. I don't actually
unlikely.
Know what would happen? What happens if none of these are the highest, or is it just the highest among the markets?
No, if none of the ones offered win, you get a refund.
Okay, so it's the same way. And what happens if just for clarity for the viewers, in the previous one, if two teams come tied,
refund as well. Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, in that case, it's a little bit more enticing because I was actually before I saw the actual odds, I saw the topics, and I thought Vengeful Spirit is going to definitely be very high, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Clockwork also be quite high.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't a hero that has been performing very well in the last couple of weeks, last month or two in Pro Dota. It's like a 35% win rate, but has been picked 46 times out of about a sample of 500 games. So TI is going to be 120, 125 games or something like that. Maybe a little bit more. Maybe my math is completely wrong. But I when I did the math, it did seem that Clockwork would be just above the threshold. And it also dies a lot. It is an initiator. Yes. Goes in. It's played as a support mostly. So like not really a flex role, which some of the other heroes like Venge might be played as a core. It's not really currently played as a core. But like I said, at TI crazy things happen. These teams have like crafted together some magic, and yeah, I could definitely get behind Vengeful Spirit, but at 2.10, and the fact that you get a refund, it is a little bit more enticing for some of these other picks. I'm not a huge fan of the Tinker pick, simply because I think it could actually be a hero which is played a couple of times and is very successful, and that brings the whole average down in a massive way, average number of deaths. So I'm a little bit skeptical on that, but Nyx Assassin does seem good. There's a lot of heroes when it comes to these hero prop markets. It is really a crapshoot. So sometimes it might be better to, and also the fact that you don't want a refund, it might be better to put a small and a slightly bigger bet on two of the heroes that you think have kind of cornered that market, and worst case scenario, you get a refund. But I'm not a huge fan of Tinker at 4.67. I could definitely get behind Lion. There's lots of Lion players. Lion is a big hero that likes to feed a lot. And a lot of these players, when the meta starts getting chaotic, they go for something that they think is a comfort pick. Lion is definitely one of those. And at 14.9, certainly could be a top feeder.
Yeah, definitely. Lion's definitely one of my comfort picks, at least. So, you know, if it's based on my play, then, you know, go for that. My last pick that I looked at was the top qualified team. So it's based on the top performing team that came through the qualifiers. So you've got Undying, SG Esports, OG, Team Spirit, Elephant, and then Fnatic. Interestingly, OG at 2.3. I've not been impressed with their form, but I guess maybe the traders see something different in them. But Kips, what are your opinions on the qualified teams? Who do you think is going to go the furthest?
OG is an interesting one because mentally they're always very strong. But what worries me about OG is that you gotta, if you want to play like they did in the previous couple of internationals, you gotta, everybody has to buy in. And it has to buy in 100%. And I'm worried that Sumail is a bit more of a cynical type of guy. And that he is not going to be able to get swept up in that wave of momentum that OG always builds. The patch could be really good for them, though, because they will definitely be playing across the side lanes. Thompson goes from mid to bot to top. He is not staying there. He's going to be enabling his two side lane cores, and Seb, of course, always performs great at TI. But my other pick here would actually be Team Spirit. I think Team Spirit has a couple of the qualities that I really like in these upstart teams. Team Spirit is very skillful. All of their cores can shot call. They have an absolutely magnificent offlaner in Collapse. I think teams with great offlaners always do good at TI, because those guys know how to play under pressure. And last but not least, they are respectless. If you've seen Mio Toronto Tokyo around, this guy shows up in our TZ stream and steals his mid and flames him like, what have you won these last couple of years? They are not afraid, and that's what I really like in a team that's going in here as a qualifier.
Yeah, and they're fresh off a beautiful run at the OGA Dota Pit, right? So, not a win, but a beautiful run, and took a map off LGD in the best of five finals. I agree with everything on the OG point. I don't know if the Sumail in lieu of Ana is the fit that would be, if that had taken place. I'm sorry, playing hindsight here, but if that swap had taken place, would OG have even had a comparable run at TI8 and TI9, and I don't think so. I mean that's just anecdotal, subjective opinion. But also, the only two teams I see as even kind of putting up a legitimate contender fight when we're talking top eight run is really OG, and I'm not sure that that's even maybe Elephant as well, but the market that for that reason that I'm interested in is the winner to come from the invitees and not the qualified. It's currently 1.24 for the invited team to win, but if you talk OG and maybe Elephant are the only two price wise that you would consider to put in that top 10 conversation or top eight placement, you're looking at probably a 90% probability as opposed to the implied of 75-80. So it's a short price. The limits are like 750, I think, American. But I just see it as being a gimme 10% edge at the very least for one of the invitees to win this year, and not OG or Elephant. Of course, I'm kind of disrespecting Fnatic and Spirit, but when we talk about, if we were to simulate this 1,000 times or 10,000 times, how often are Fnatic or Spirit going to be taking it down, and not it being OG and Elephant from the qualified teams? That's the reason for trying to back a short price like this.
I think the odds are, sure, every time someone writes off OG, someone says, the last time you wrote off OG, they did really well. there's definitely, like you said, Sumail is a big negative factor. I will walk it back a little bit by saying that OG definitely have the non-gameplay elements which are required to win a TI. They have the mental capacity to lose and bounce back. They have the ability to ride the wave as far as they can go. I still think that makes the odds of 2.3 looking a little bit wild. If anything, I would swap OG's odds and Elephant's odds, or I would also be willing to place a small bet if there was a market on OG to not win TI at 1.01 or whatever it is. Simply because I think there's just so many other strong teams this year, and like Adam said, I honestly think Ana was by far the most important factor in previous TI wins for OG, by far. And without him, they haven't, it's not all lost. They can still do well, but I just don't see a three-peat happening. And there is actually a prop market on that. I haven't really even looked at the odds of that. Can maybe get into that in a sec. But yeah, the other thing I wanted to just say is, I think it, in my opinion, SGE Esports have got the lowest chance of winning TI. And not very far behind them is Fnatic, at least at the moment. So two of these six teams are almost irrelevant for the prop that you said about on the qualified team versus invited team to win TI. So I think at 1.24, like you say, that is almost free money.
You're not going to get wealthy off of it, but it's like you're really betting on a confident play there that is not a sure thing. We're not supposed to use that language,
Yeah, I was also going to say, Team Spirit, their price is, I mean, so Fnatic's odds of being the top qualified team seem kind of wild to me. Team Spirit have looked good more recently, but also remember that in some of the events that they have performed, it's been events where a lot of the qualified teams have not been participating, they've taken the time out, and like Tundra has been one of the dominant teams, right? And Tundra are a team that haven't been going to TI and they've looked so good. So yeah, I think Spirit are good, but maybe a little bit exaggerated here in the odds. And I think Fnatic's are kind of crazy. So I think there definitely is something wrong within these projected odds for top qualified teams. But nonetheless, 1.24 for the international winner being an invited team seems good.
Yeah, and just to back up a point that Luxville said, with the odds for there to be a repeat champion, for it to be yes is 2.9. Obviously, with previous champions in EG, Invictus Gaming, Alliance, is that something that you guys kind of agree with Adam and Kips? Is do you think that there probably won't be a repeat winner?
Well, you know, that price, that 2.9, you're really looking at three teams for repeating, EG, IG, OG, and they're all dangerous, but, you know, it's three of, okay, even if you remove Fnatic, remove SG, remove Undying, you're still talking about, it's more of a 25% chance, probably. Again, this is, we're talking maybe 10% off, but if I was to engage in that particular market, repeat or no, it's not the three-peat market that I'm referring to, but it is repeat. I would go no repeat. I think there's too many teams that were like, how have they not won one yet? You know, when we were talking about Secret earlier being that, but LGD, VP, four of the five Chinese teams have not won. Five of the six qualified teams, five of the six top, four of the six top contending teams are priced. So it, again, it's 1.3 short price, not going to get wealthy off of it, but it seems like this is a good way to engage in a market that just playing the probabilities. If I did this every single year, go down as more teams won it. But I'm looking at that one as an alternate way to engage.
Okay, I have really nothing to add to that.
Okay, that's fine. Move on to I'm going to build a little scenario for everyone right now. I want to get your combined knowledge and expertise, and I want to understand what you guys would hope to see at a dream TI, right? So would you want to see another kind of miracle run like an OG, or would you rather see kind of dominant performances from an underdog or a dark horse team, or is it, are you hoping for it to be pretty plain and simple?
I'm just hoping the humans beat the AI this year in the show match, really. That's what I'm hoping for. That would be my dream scenario. Sorry. Yes.
Maybe that's something we can get the traders to price up for you, Red.
Well, they did yeah. Price that when OG went against them, and it was priced as OG, I believe, as like a small dog, and they got wiped. So anyway, but that's another topic for another day.
Yeah, I mean, I can kick it off. I can say I hope that the group stage is kind of in a position where the meta resolves quickly, so that by the time we get to playoffs, it's not really like this. It's not really a constantly shifting meta that in the, like, I think the worst example of this was TI4, where Vici Gaming had like come up and perfected a strategy, and another team with newbie just like stole it and improved on it, and they just stomped their way through the playoffs. So I'm hoping that all the madness just gets resolved in the group stage. And by madness, I mean we start seeing a somewhat stable meta, but that doesn't mean a stale meta. As in, there's a certain way that the game's played, and certain heroes which are obviously popular, but there's a large pool of them that we're able to like cycle through, so that the teams have like they can do this. You know, when you watch a team like Tundra, for example, in the most recent action, they have like three or four strategies in every game. They execute one of those. I want to see something where it's a little bit more diverse than that. I want to see, okay, we have these strategies, but it's not all focused around one specific hero. It's like, but we play this group of heroes, and we play this certain, like, meta style of, like, three protect two or something. You know, like, I want to see something where it's not, like, decided entirely by some sort of weird play style when it comes to the playoffs. So, group stage, absolute bloodbath. I'm totally willing to make all the favorites start in the lower bracket and play best of ones. That's fine. But I just want to see the matches and the playoffs, like, everyone I want to see interesting. I want to see, like, a dynamic matchup, and I don't want to see just, like, huge stomps. That's my hope and dream.
Yeah, I guess the word that I'm looking for, what I'm hearing, what you're saying here, and I completely agree with it, by the way, is mastery. You want a team, several teams, to show that they understand this game perfectly and that they're not getting cheesed out, or that the fact that they don't play Lishrak is not the deciding factor in whether or not they're going to take the tournament in the end. And I think an even meta where there is not one dominant strategy but a host of different options also favors the best teams to do the best, because that's what I was going at. I'm very biased. I would really like to see LGD finally take it. I think they are the best team by far, but in order to get there, where I want to see them get challenged, and I want to see them actually, you know, have to show everything that they got. And that can only happen if there is a very nice balanced patch waiting for us here, and we don't know that yet.
Personally, I'm hoping for no particular narrative. I don't really want to see a three-peat. I've never been, you know, into that. I did hit on OG between the group stage and the playoffs at 8-1 2 years ago. But I'm not big on the three-peat storyline. I think it's better for the scene to have more turnover, turnover meaning new winners. And but from a betting standpoint, I want lots of game threes, and I want lots of underdog victories. That's always just better for the bankroll. But otherwise, I'm just very excited to have a top world-class Dota event, and I'm not going to ask for too much more than that.
I mean, it would be nice to see Arteezy win a TI. It'd be nice for VP to win, because then, like, I think actually now that you've all said your opinions on this, I think I have one thing to add, is I want outcomes which bust these sort of like Reddit myths. You know, Reddit believes that VP always fails in Big Land. I want VP to do well. Like, I want him to come like up to. And people said elephants are awful and they're like never gonna do. So like, I want all of these things. So I guess by definition, I want secrets to come like do okay. I want EG to win, elephants top three. Let's
you want
say.
Disruption, maximum chaos.
Absolutely. Oh, I need
that's right.
Dying and Quincy crew have to come top eight for that to happen. yeah, and Alliance has to beat OG without a coach. I mean, that's like the other meme that's going on.
No, I actually now that Ben is added to his, I also okay. want that is what I'm going to say. No, but in a sense that destroying the narratives is really what he's talking to, and sort of let's see some freshness in the results and what we thought was is the typical like and I am Canadian, so it would be nice to see an RTZ win. I'll back him in that statement as well.
Okay, great. So we got mastery, we got freshness, and I think we got a bit of variety, right? Okay. Well, it was great talking to you guys and getting your opinions on TI 10s coming up. You can obviously check out all of the prop markets that we talked about in the description below. And thank you for listening, and thank you for joining us.